Now, some 40% of property sales in the last 3 months of last year are understood to have been landlords selling investment properties. That's according to the Society of Chartered Surveyors of Ireland's annual Residential Property Review and Outlook. The chair of the Society's Practice and Policy Committee is John O'Sullivan, and he joins the studio. Very good afternoon to you. Now, this is a pretty eye-catching figure. 40% of sales, you reckon, in the last quarter of last year were landlords exiting the business. Now, it's based, and this maybe is just a note of caution, it's based on the feedback you get from your own members and from those involved in
this is a survey, Brian, that we've been running for 40 years now. So we would amend the questions that we would ask our members. And in light of anecdotal evidence of landlords leaving the market, we've asked our most recent survey this question. So it's very interesting. So 40% of landlords 40% of all sales would be landlords leaving the market. And what's very interesting as well is 8 out of 10 of our members don't envisage that these are properties that will come back into the residential rental sector.
Right, so they're not being sold to other landlords?
No,
then.
They're being purchased by owner-occupiers.
Right. So in that sense, they're still available in the housing stock, but it does underline what we've been hearing from the landlord representatives and so forth, that a lot of them are getting
Absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely. I mean, the big issue in the market is supply, both from the residential sales side, but also from the residential rental side. Supply is a big issue and has been for some time.
Your survey also asks about questions in relation to property prices. And I think it's fair to say the people you've talked to do see some moderation in the increase in the coming year.
What we're seeing at the moment, so I suppose we're looking at maybe a decade of double-digit growth, and at some point in time that's no longer viable. And it's very evident that the expectation our members have is that for 2023, modest growth, 2%, and we'd see about half of that growth in the first quarter of this year, which is very normal in a market anyway. Every year the growth level seems to be in the early part of the year, as is a lot of the activity in the market.
Yeah, that's a pretty low figure, 2%. I mean, it could very easily swing perhaps into prices contracting, couldn't it?
It's very hard to see it with the lack of supply that's there. Certainly, you know, and we're very much seeing that. And also the other side is on the building side, the construction side, we do have a concern. You know, for instance, there's 25,000 housing units were built last year. For instance, that housing for all target is 33,000. So we're 8% behind that target at this very moment in time. Mm-hmm. But with construction costs have increased, you know, there are other increased costs around that. I mean, there's the inflationary measures, there's interest rates changes. It can make some housing schemes unviable, so therefore they won't be going ahead.
So you think that the government will struggle to meet this housing for all target of 33,000?
That's next year's figure.
29,000 this year. But actually, you're also saying even those targets aren't enough to meet the demand that's going to be there.
Correct.
It is there.
Correct. And if you look, for instance, the National Planning Framework Review, which is in the first quarter of 2023 this year, and it's likely that they'll have to increase those figures.
So the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, when he was speaking earlier this week about perhaps after the housing summit of perhaps having to revise upwards some of those targets, he's onto something.
He is onto something, yeah, absolutely.
And at the moment, in terms of affordability, because we hear a lot about just how much beyond the reach homes are for many, particularly first-time buyers, there's a bit of a mixed picture there. Parts of the country, certainly where that's the case. Other parts where, well, I suppose it depends what you define as affordable, but there is some measure of affordability.
We have a very interesting case study that we run. And we track a fictitious couple on a combined income of 89,000, which is a lot of money, a combined income of 89,000. And we've looked, for instance, currently, you know, over a number of counties, you know, an average price of a newly built three-bedroom semi-detached house. And for instance, if they were to buy one in Wicklow, they're 74,000 euro short on the purchase price, mm-hmm. and Kildare 27,000 euro short. So, you know, it's just shows you what's happening with the market. Again, prices are becoming out of reach for so many people out there looking to purchase.
Is it possible for developers in those and perhaps other parts of the country as well to build and market homes at an affordable price?
Well, it's very difficult in the current climate with the cost of materials, the raw material, the cost of labour. And again, the cost of financing these schemes, it is very hard to do so. Yeah.
So what needs to happen to make them affordable?
Well, there has to be a number of measures introduced, and it's not just one solution for it all. So you're looking at availability of finance for developers, you're looking at subsidies, you know, and again, we do have, for instance, like, you know, for the buy, you know, the the different schemes that are certainly there have been very helpful to date. But we do need to look at a much larger range of options, certainly.
Subsidies for developers?
Well, maybe subsidies for local authorities to develop. You know, there are different things that have to be certainly looked at there.
But I mean, we can see local authorities able to build and deliver homes at affordable prices. We can see housing associations being able to do it. Why can't the open market meet this demand?
Yeah, well, maybe again, you're looking at the cost of land as well. And that's what's bringing into it too. I mean, again, if local authorities are building, it's often building on land they already own. Whereas a developer has to acquire that land to build on it. So again, there's a multitude of different reasons behind this.
And we could talk about land hoarding as well, perhaps, but maybe that's for another day.
Maybe for another day.
John O'Sullivan, thanks very much indeed for talking to us.